Please rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3, roll call.
Mike Serpy.
Here.
Dave Klimisch.
Here.
Mike Polakoff.
Here.
Chris Keckler.
Here.
John Steinberg.
Here. Quorum being present. Brings us to item 4, recognition. We have two on the agenda tonight, but I don't see them in attendance. Do we want to, rather than read everything here, we'll wait till we get them in, but we have two resolutions. One is 1817, that's resolution appreciation and thanks to Roger Mayer for his service to the Village Police and Fire Commission. And the other is Resolution 1818, and that's Resolution Appreciation and Recognition to Thomas W. Turwell for his years of service to the Village of Pulsipari Police and Fire Commission. I don't believe either man could make it this evening, so we'll do it at a later date than when they can be present. So,
you wanna, what, should we approve the resolution, sir?
Or table?
Why don't we table them and then we can recognize them at a later
move
date?
Move to table 1817 and 1818.
Second.
Motion by Chris, second by Dave. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. That takes care of number 4. We'll move on to item 5, minutes of the meeting for May 7th, 2018 and May 14th, 2018, presented to the board members in written form.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Mike S. Those in favor? Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. And that brings us to item 6, citizens' comments.
Mr. President, we do have one sign up this evening. It's Terry McMahon.
Good evening, Mr. President, members of the board. My name is Terry McMahon, 6407 107th Street in Pleasant Prairie. I'm here to extend a thank you to the crew for the Public Works Department, for John Steinberg Jr. and his boys and the work they recently completed or in the process of completing, putting a new culvert in along Old Green Bay Road. They worked efficiently, professionally, and clean, and making sure public safety of the road was maintained. Unfortunately, there was one item that stretched from this issue that nobody in the neighborhood was notified that the road was going to close, and we had one neighbor decide to get a little upset and decide to go off-roading and make his own roads, and unfortunately that's going to happen. I can't control anybody but myself. So, again, to John and his boys, thank you for doing a decent job and professionally and doing it in a proper manner and keeping public safety involved. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'm going to close citizens' comments. We're going to move on to item 7, administrator's report.
I have nothing to report tonight.
Then we will move on to item 8, new business. First item being an item A, to receive the Planning Commission recommendation. Consider ordinance 1820, and it's for a zoning map amendment as it relates to the vacant properties generally located west of 11878 25th Court, and this is from zoning R4 to zoning R3. Peggy?
Mr. President, I ask that we take the next item together and then discuss them at the same time. However, separate motions will be required.
That is item B, and item B is also to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider lot line adjustment to combine two vacant properties west of 11878 25th Court that will add approximately 145 feet to the property located at 11878 25th Court.
The owner of the property located at 11878 25th Court and the two vacant properties to the west are proposing to reconfigure the properties so that there are two properties that remain. Specifically, 145 feet of the vacant property is proposed to be added to the property at 11878 25th Court. And then the properties are proposed to be rezoned into the R3 district so that the existing property that the house is on and the land being combined with that property and the remaining vacant lot are all zoned R3, which is urban single-family residential. Upon approval of the lot line adjustment and the zoning map amendment, these two lots will comply with the current regulations of the Land Division and the zoning ordinance. Plan Commission recommended that the zoning map amendment be approved. They also recommended that the lot line adjustment be approved as presented.
So at the end of the day, the middle property will be attached to the current house?
Correct.
And the new lot will be zoned consistent with the...
Correct.
The new neighborhood. Is the goal to... If a house gets built, would it be part of that homeowners association?
No. We cannot amend the boundaries of the subdivision plat.
Okay.
I move approval of the ordinance 1820.
I'll second that.
Motion by Mike S., second by Mike P. This is for adoption of ordinance 1820. Further discussion?
Is that little sliver on the house, or the lot to the left, it's going to remain L-shaped?
That is correct.
Okay.
There's no further discussion. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item B.
Move approval of lot line adjustment. Thank you.
Second. Looking for the word.
Motion by Dave, second by Mike S. for further discussion. Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item C, and item C is to consider the appeal of Ozma and Chris Keeler, and this is on behalf of it's Zabasali, excuse me there, and Rubino Cadre and Michael and Cynthia Haven. This is for services charged for snow and ice removal pursuant to Village Ordinance 305-.11.
Mr. President, members of the Village Board, Village residents are reminded annually to clear snow from their sidewalk and the public right-of-way by media of the Village newsletter. Our construction management staff inspected all residential properties with sidewalks in Pleasant Prairie, including the Village Green Heights subdivision, on February 13, 2018. The snow event had ended by 11 a.m. on February 11, 2018, providing property owners more than 24 hours, as stated in the Village Ordinance, to clear snow and ice from the sidewalk. Contracted forces were requested to clear snow and ice on February 14, 2018, and the work was complete on February 14th. Construction management staff mailed residents letters detailing these events with a copy of the ordinance number 305-11 and a copy of the parcel map that same day, stating that an invoice will be issued in the upcoming weeks for the snow and ice removal. When the invoices were received from the contractor, village staff reviewed them, sent to the finance department for payment from the offending property owners. It is the staff's position that the residents were notified of their obligation to clear snow from the sidewalk and are responsible for payment of the charges to avoid these costs from being charged against the tax levy. I talked to my inspectors, and they did take pictures the day that they went out and did the inspection. The first picture that we have is the address 10004 55th Avenue, taken Tuesday the 13th at 11:13 a.m., and it's clear that snow was not shoveled from that sidewalk. The second one was taken 10 minutes later at 9966 55th Avenue. It was a Tuesday at 11:23 a.m. We did not have any pictures from the contractor showing it afterwards, but the contractors were there. They cleaned the snow. They charged a time and material per the rates that they had bid competitively to the village, and we did send invoices up accordingly, and I can answer any questions you may have.
John, how many complaints did we receive about the invoices we sent out?
Public Works received 6. I'm not sure how many the finance department had received.
Okay. And all of them have complied with payment?
I would have to check with Kathy, finance department, to see how many people have paid to date.
Prior to this year, when's the last time we got some complaints about this fee implementation?
We did not receive any complaints from anyone about the snow. We just went out per ordinance and checked after the snow event.
I meant the snow removal. What's been the history prior to this year?
We did the same thing last year. in the winter of 2016-2017. And we ended up writing off all of those tickets because of the same. Well, they weren't tickets. We ended up writing in all those special charges because that they ended up saying that they weren't noticed properly. They were, but it was the staff's position at that time just to write them off. And so we did write off a large amount of tickets last year also.
And the village incurs then the
and
all
the village incurred
burdens.
That cost, and then it went against the general tax levy, correct?
And the village did, though, increase its awareness of the snow removal, both in newsletters and other media pushes?
Yeah, it's in the village newsletter every year. It's not... It doesn't state the whole process or the ordinance, but it does remind residents to clear their sidewalk in front of their property.
And this ordinance has been in effect since 2013?
Excuse me?
It's been in effect since 2013, is that right? The ordinance?
I believe the ordinance has been placed longer than that. I'm not sure the actual update of that specific ordinance, but I believe it's common knowledge in most municipalities and cities that if you have a sidewalk, you are responsible to clean it. I don't believe we are any different than any other municipality by requiring that.
And do you know about how many of these we get per winter or per snow event?
For this snow event, there were around 40.
Okay.
That we issued out. And some were in Becker Park, some were in Harrison, some were 82nd off of 50th. The village does not have many new sidewalks, but our new current cross-section does include sidewalks in all subdivisions, so it's going to become more of an issue as we move forward, as all the new subdivisions will have sidewalks.
And I think, for full disclosure, I think there was a concern that some people that were assessed or had the snow removal taken place in this manner, that they wanted to say some of their neighbors maybe didn't. It's just logistics. There's only so many outfits or subcontractors that you have. And there potentially may be more houses than there is time in the day to get to them?
It is my belief that we were able to complete all of the inspections of all the sidewalks, send violations to everyone that did not have it cleaned.
Okay.
I'm not aware of any situations where we missed a sidewalk or did not invoice one out.
And is that something Public Works typically does after a big snow event?
We do it if we have inspectors to take care of it. We don't do it after every snow event. But on this specific one, we did have staff available on the 13th to go out and complete the inspection.
You know, I can't see us varying from this ordinance, from the enforcement of it. If we do, then we're going to have a runaway problem in the village. And I don't advocate that we vary from what we have here. I think realistically, if I go on vacation in the middle of winter, I make arrangements for my snow to be removed. I only have a driveway, but still, I make arrangements for that to be done. I do the same thing in the summertime when I leave somebody to cut my grass. We have these ordinances in place for a reason. It's a safety reason, and I don't think we should be varying from what we have on the books.
Yeah, sir, you had a comment. You were shaking your head there. Yes, please come up. Give us your name and address for the record because it's being transferred.
Yep, I'm Chris Keeler.
And I'm Asma Kadri.
At 10,455th Ave. We're not debating the ordinance. That's not what we're trying to appeal. We know that the ordinance is for safety. We know it's there. What we're trying to say, and you know, he took these pictures, and clearly they're not shoveled. That's not what we're appealing at all. What we're appealing is that the ordinance is not uniformly enforced. The mister here said that you know he had inspectors who were able to go out. We spoke with people in our neighborhood with sidewalks who did not receive ordinance. This isn't necessarily an issue
of whether or not the ordinance is appropriate.
Right.
It's an issue of fairness. And we're not sure that arbitrarily enforcing an ordinance that should be uniformly enforced is fair. And the runaway problem in this case seems to be the arbitrariness of the enforcement. And that's what we're worried about, that there are some citizens being treated in different ways.
So just to clarify, from your point of view, some houses were were cited and some houses weren't?
That's what we understand from our neighbors, yes. That's correct.
So on when the snow plows, or when the crew came out on February 14th, they did the houses that they were under contract to with the village, you're saying, but then there was other houses where the sidewalks still hadn't been plowed?
So we know that our sidewalk, this house here, and then the heavens were the other picture. That sidewalk, those were both cleared. We had another neighbor who received a notice.
But not an actual
bill. Not an actual bill, an invoice for the plowing. And then others who didn't receive notices or plowing.
Not to mention that our sidewalks are the same in length, the same in width, and we were charged different amounts. So if it's on the contract and it's the same amount of work, we're not sure why that they're different costs either.
And so essentially what we're not arguing we're not trying to get out of it. What we're trying to say is that something like this we believe is important for public safety. You know, I think that our situations are a little unique because it goes into a field, but that's not what we're trying to get out of. We think that an ordinance like this is important for public safety. People use sidewalks. We don't want people slipping. But if that's an ordinance, it should be an ordinance for everybody and not for some people.
You know, I think what we're going to do is probably give it a little bit more attention, but let me give you an example. I get a speeding ticket, but there's a lot of people still speeding, and they're not getting tickets. So, and we'll do the best we can to, you know, to
I appreciate
that.
That.
I think another concern that we had about this is that we've lived at this address for 11 years, and notices have come to other people, but we've never received one.
Okay.
And that's because my dad's really diligent about snow clearing, and, you know, on this instance, he wasn't. It's a pretty big snowstorm, and, you know, my parents are getting a bit older, and things are different. So we're not contesting the ordinance at all.
Okay, well, I think to make sure that we'll do the best we can, but I'm certainly not going to sit here and say we're going to guarantee we're going to get everyone. Sure. We just can't do that. But we'll do what we can.
With respect, I do think that this is different than a speeding ticket.
I'm just using an example.
I know. It's that the inspector came and checked this house, and then across the street didn't check that house. It's not a bunch of cars driving by. So I do believe it's a different situation.
If anything, thanks for bringing it to our attention. So
thank you.
We'll definitely look at this.
Can we have what's the timeline for when we can?
It's not going to snow for a while, so.
In terms of our specific situation, when can we expect a decision on the appeal?
I think they'll decide tonight. Are you going to? Were you planning on waiting?
I have a question before of staff.
Yeah.
John, could you, one of the things they're alleging is that there was differential treatment charges between different property owners. Somebody paid more than another one. Could you describe why that would be the case, or is that?
Yeah, sure. I actually spoke with the contractor this afternoon and asked that specific question. And they logged to the 15-minute interval on how long it actually takes to complete the snow clearing operations. It did take a little bit longer at one of the addresses than the other because there's a little bit more snow. It just took a little bit longer. This was kind of a unique snow event also because over the course of a couple days when it snowed, it started to thaw, it froze, it snowed, it melted, it thawed. So it's probably, you know, really the worst case scenario for snow clearing. It wasn't like we just had a 2-inch snow and you could just go with a shovel and clear it. There was layers of ice and snow, and it was very thick and very cumbersome to go through and do. So they are at a rate of $50 per hour per, you know, manual labor, and then $30 for the machinery that they use to clear it from the intersections and stuff like that. So it builds up pretty quickly. So another half hour of work, you know, ends up costing, you know, another $40-$50. So,
John, one other question, just for clarity's sake. When the inspectors went out, did they inspect the entire village, or was it?
Yes, we went out and we inspected every village. I have a map. I don't have it for a presentation. I wasn't aware that we would need it, but it actually shows a parcel map on our GIS that has identified all the sidewalks with a yellow line. And then they go through it, and then they select each of the ones that had a snow on the sidewalk. So we have a pretty detailed map with all the parcel numbers and everything. if they did miss something, I'm not saying it couldn't have happened, but I would be surprised because I have a pretty detailed map for the entire village, and the guys go through pretty thoroughly. Could they have missed one? Possibly. Something could have happened in the interim, but, you know, I believe they did a pretty good job selecting all of the sidewalks that were not cleared on the snow event.
And then one other clarification. Did the contractors, when they serve notices, they serve notices to each of the violations that they corrected? Or were
well, the
some...
village mailed the letter when it was done after the event, just telling them to expect an invoice coming in the near future. Because it takes a couple weeks to get the bill back from the contractor, to verify, to send it to the finance department. Finance department sends it out to the residents. So there is some time duration. So just to put people on notice right after the event that something would coming and they were noted as violating.
And the invoices went to individuals where the contractor actually did work.
Correct.
Okay.
John, is there a performance standard in the contract for the contractor to adhere to?
I don't have the contractor in front of me, but I do believe that it reads that they have to clear the snow and de-ice with a sidewalk salt.
Okay. And, I mean, as far as, you know, getting all of them, or is there a time frame from the time that...
I believe they had them all within 24 hours. They go at it pretty hard. And one of the things, I guess, that keeps the cost a little bit lower is that they don't have to mow to each one. So if they have, like, for example, on Main Street, I'm counting maybe a dozen of them. You know, those crews are going from the first one to the next one to the next one without having to stop and load up and unload and haul, go back to the shop or get more supplies or anything like that. So I believe they're working effectively, but it did take a little bit of time because, you know, I believe we got over 18 inches of snow over that duration. So it was a large snow event, and it did take some time.
I guess, you know, one thing that, from my experience, is kind of, and maybe it's something we can, no, we could, we should, you know, make sure we tune up the process between when the notice goes out and, you know, when the work is done. But I know we have this, and for years we've had the same issue when we do mowing, where people let their grass get too high, where it becomes weeds. We go out, we, you know, look at it, say, yeah, it's high, and then we put an order out to mow it. And, you know, if it happens in an area, you know, it's tough to control who gets out and mows when before we send out the notices and when we actually do the work. So it's always difficult. But on the other hand, I think that, you know, the village's responsibility to make sure that everybody, you know, it complies with the ordinance. It sometimes it's like chasing clouds as to whether or not you've got somebody in time or you were too late and they did it, or they did it before you got out there, or if it's just human error or somebody didn't pick up the right address or what have you. But I, you know, I'm inclined to think that, you know, we need to follow through with this, but I guess with the caveat that, you know, to the extent that we issue contracts again, I'd like to see a more precise standard, you know, for the time that we notify when that takes place, that you know, the contractor is notified, that the people ahead of time are notified with sidewalks. Because you're right, we don't have a lot, but we probably should, you know, do a notice ahead of time saying, you know, if your sidewalk isn't plowed, it's, you know, you will be charged if we have to come out and do it, so they know ahead of time what the cost is, and then it kind of goes from there, so that nobody is mistaken. That's not to say somebody might get missed, but I don't think doing whatabouts really resolves the problem. It just, you know, the real issue is to stay on top of it and make sure they get cleared off and are done.
I can draft up a ordinance revision for the board to review at an upcoming meeting.
Okay. With that, Mr. President, I'd make a motion that receive and file the claim, and at that point, well, there's somebody else who wants to speak. I don't want to do it before somebody speaks. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Sorry.
My name name's Michael Heaven. I live at 9966 55th Avenue. The picture up on the screen right now is my property. Just one comment. You can see there's a marker that is posted right on the curb. And so the curb is back several feet from where the snow line is here. So you're talking about clearing the snow out. The street's not even clear here in this instance. I paid considerably more than my neighbor, which at $50 an hour, that was probably an additional hour's worth of time, or at least a half hour's worth of time. But part of the problem, I think, is that the plows are coming in and driving the snow at almost a 90-degree angle to that curb instead of following the curb around and pushing the snow down to the end of the street where the barricades are there. So I have some doubts about this picture. You're telling me to plow or at least clear my sidewalk, but yet the street's not clear here. So just a point. So thank you.
Are we not plowing the dead ends?
I do believe that the snow was plowed all the way around the corner to the dead end. I believe what he's talking about is just, it looks like a 3 foot from that yard marking state behind the curb to where the snow is actually cleared along the roadway. So it looks like on that section in front of his house, we're about 3 feet away from the curb. And I can talk with the staff to make sure that they clear all the way down. Picture could have been taken before we had a chance to widen everything out to the following day. A lot of times we have to go back, depending on the duration, how long the crews have been out, we'll get the roads open. If they've been up for more than 16 hours, we'll send them home for a shift just so they get some sleep, and then we'll come back the next day and allow them to widen everything out, especially on these areas that are less traveled than these dead-end roads. But it definitely was not cleared at the time of this picture.
But there is exposed asphalt.
Excuse me?
There is exposed asphalt in the foreground.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just not to the...
The road is probably open for 30-plus feet. They're just 3 feet from the curb that wasn't pushed back all the way.
One other point, just to make sure that we understand. There are other individuals who have been fined and have paid. And so when we talk about fairness and equity, that's just one other consideration that we couldn't just blanket waive. I think last year the decision was to blanket waive, but that was because it was an education piece, and no one had paid at that time.
With that, Mr. President, I move that we receive and file the appeal has been presented to us, and that the charges remain in place, and that the citizens be offered the opportunity to make payment within 30 days of this hearing.
Second.
Motion by Mike B., second by Dave. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Takes care of item C. Brings us to item 9, Village Board comments.
Just one. Saturday at the police department, Chief Smetana did an outstanding job on addressing the appreciation to the law enforcement officers that received little gift bag from the Appreciation Association, Howard Cooley, Rosalie Villano, Gina Priebus. Very well done. The chief addressed the group and the news very, very professionally, and we have a lot to be proud of with our officers, and showing the appreciation that we do goes a long way, especially with law enforcement as it is today. So congratulations.
I thought we might need defibrillation later, and they were going to let the machine do it to us instead of themselves. Is there a volunteer?
A new guy.
Yeah. Any further board comments? If not, we'll move on to item 10. Item 10 is entering into executive session pursuant to section 19.851E for deliberating or negotiating or purchasing of public properties, investing of public funds, or the conducting of other specified public business whenever competitive or bargaining reasons require a closed session.
So moved.
You need a roll call vote on this.
I'll second it.
Motion by Chris, second by Mike. Mike P.
P.
Mike P.
Roll call vote. John Steinberg?
Aye.
Chris Keckler?
Aye.
Mike Polakoff?
Aye.
Dave Klimisch?
Aye.
Mike Serpe?
Aye.
Motion passes. We will return to open session for the purpose of adjournment only. No other business will be conducted.